I'm pleased to be joined now by Doreen Parker, a member of the Terry Fox Parent Council. And Doreen, it's great to chat with you.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you're right now you're trying to get a new playground structure at Terry Fox Public School. How did that come about?
Every year the school board comes in and does an inspection of the playgrounds at every school to make sure that they're safe and able to be used by students. And ours was deemed unsafe. And because it was right when COVID was hitting, there wasn't really, parent council was not meeting in person, and the principal was really in a spot where she kind of had to make the decision herself, which is absolutely not her fault. And they decided that it would be better to take it out than to leave it. So they did. But now we've priced it out and got it approved by the board, the one that we've chosen, which is also wheelchair accessible. And it's going to be over $120,000, which feels daunting, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, absolutely. Now, has it always been this way? Do you know that, like, say, a parent council is responsible for replacing it? Because the school board took it out, but they don't replace it, I guess.
That's true. Now, it's not parent council's job to replace it, but it is somebody in the community or school community has to decide to take it on. Okay. So when I heard that we didn't have one and that school boards do not ever build school playgrounds, I think it's probably a liability issue. But I know that the first one that was here was fundraised by a group of people just like us. And the lady that headed that group up actually lives on my street. So how I know they had to fundraise.
Do you know how long the previous one was in place for?
Well, when the school was built, it took them 2 years to raise the money. I think it was about $50,000. That's a guesstimate. And it has been there ever since. So I think the school was built in 94. So it has been there for quite some time.
So it's over $120,000. Now, the timeline I saw was for it to possibly be purchased and installed this summer. Like, is that possible? Is that possible? Or do you absolutely have to wait till all the money's raised?
We have to wait until we have the full amount of money. And it's sort of a complicated way to do business, but I get why they do it, because I've worked in the school board for years and years. It's making sure that, because once you put down a down payment, you only really have a year to make that payment come true, because prices change every year.
Right.
So $120,000 used to include, when we first priced it, a 10% contingency. It no longer includes a 10% contingency because prices go up every year. So we're hoping to get it in within the next year, like literally 12 months. We've looked into all kinds of grants, but haven't had any luck. A lot of grants that support playgrounds don't support school-based playgrounds, even though they're used by the community.
Okay, do you know why that is?
No. I have no idea why. Yeah. We were very excited last fall. We thought that we had Drew Cameron, who is one of the members of our committee, and his wife, Liz, is also a member. And he had a line on a grant, and it would have been, could be for up to $150,000. And we were so excited because we thought maybe they'll see the value, maybe they'll fund this. And the minute they found out it was a school playground, they said, "We're sorry, but you don't qualify." And we had no idea that there was that differentiation. Like, when you go in and read all the different grants that are available and what they support and what they're looking for before they give money to a project, they don't tell you up front it can't be a school ground project. So you have to weed them all out first, which is what we've been doing for the last year and a half, is weeding them all out. Because we had approval for this playground last June from the school. No, that's not true. August from the school board, which was great. But it's taken all this time to figure out what we can and can't actually get.
And that's tough when you can't, like, get the funding support through the school board, but then you have trouble out in the community as well.
Now, we spoke with David Pacini, because he's our MPP here in Coburg, and, you know, asked what kind of help he could give. And he's part of a group that that meets monthly, and the group donated $1,000, which was great, and said that he would spread the word among other groups that often donate to projects like this. And I mean, we're looking into big businesses, like we're heading out to visit, you know, Walmart, Cameco, all big places like that. We want to do it face to face, which is why we haven't done it until like since January, only because of COVID. And there's still restrictions in some places. So now I feel that we can absolutely. So this summer we're going to push hard. Our group met last week, and we're ready to go. So we're pounding the pavement and trying to get, you know, people to support. And if they can't give money, then we're hoping that they can donate donate a service or a product so that we can have a silent auction next year and raise money for this. And we're slowly working our way toward a playground, which our kids would love to have.
Yes, absolutely. So as far as the fundraising process goes, like how far along are you right now?
$10,000.
Okay.
Yeah, we have $10,000 so far. We set up a school cash online account so that people could donate to the school playground without actually being members of, like, parents of the school of kids here. We wanted to do a GoFundMe page, but the board doesn't allow third-party individuals involved in fundraising. And because they take a cut of what you raise, we're not allowed to use GoFundMe. So we have to use school cash online, and people would have to register for that and then choose the options for Terry Fox Playground.
Okay. For anyone who wants to contribute, what's the best way? What are the different ways they could do so?
They can do, they can write a check to the board, which is the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. And then they have to make note that it's for Terry Fox's playground.
Okay.
And then they'll get a charitable donation. The school board's considered a charity because we're nonprofit. And so we have a charitable number, which means that people can get credit for making a donation to a charity.
And then if you can just repeat about the school cash online again.
Absolutely. So you can go into school cash online and sort of sign in and give yourself an account, register, and then you can look in the pull-down menus, and there's a spot there for Playground, and you donate to Playground. It's you'll see Healthy Hunger in there, and you'll see just different food items and drink items in there for kids' lunches. It's in there. You just have to look for it and pull down. It'll say Terry Fox Playground.
I guess because you can only raise so much money from, as you mentioned, parents of the school. How do you hope to appeal to the broader community? Because I'm sure a lot of people can appreciate how important these structures are, especially, yes, it's at the school, but it's for community use as well.
Mm-hmm. It's not gated. So it's fenced, but it's never locked. Like, people can use it anytime they want, which is kind of nice, because then the neighborhood here has tons of kids. So I think what we're going to do is just basically appeal to people's common sense that the kids need a playground. We are the only school in the entire region that does not have a playground. And that's not okay. We have 4 LLS classes here, so learning life skills, kids with special needs. And we have a large population of kids from grade 5 down, which means that all these kids could be using a playground, and yet there is no play structure out there. When we had a play structure, because I have 2 kids here at the school, and my son was here at the time, and we played on that play structure every single night after school. And the parents would meet and chit-chat, and the kids would all play, and it gave a huge sense of community for the school that is now missing. And I think people will see the importance of that when we talk about it. I really do.
Do you know how many kids go to the school?
Over 400.
Okay. And right now, since the playground was removed, I think there's only like a set of monkey bars there left, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a set of monkey bars. No, you could probably do about 10 kids at a time if you're lucky. And it's, yeah. We need a structure that'll hold, you know, a good chunk of various aged kids and have activity for the various ages too. And I think that's important. I think it's important for them to have something that they can do. If you're not a sports kid, which a lot of kids aren't, and you don't want to play soccer or ultimate frisbee, then the play structure gives you something to do. And if you're grade 3 and down, you're not doing the organized sports, because organized sports doesn't start till grade 4, which means that the playground is a huge thing for you.
What else would the kids do outside right now?
The little kids?
Yeah.
Well, they play in the stones that are where the playground used to be. We bring a soccer ball after school sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of them are interested in that, some not. Some play ball up against the wall here. We have like a courtyard in the back, and they can play basketball and ball, but the little tiny ones don't do that. They can't even reach high enough for the basketball net, so it's more that we need the structure for the younger kids, for sure.
And just, I guess, a way to, for especially the younger ones, to get some energy out.
Oh, definitely. Because at recess, the kids used to use it all the time. And there's also a daycare here at Terry Fox School attached, run by the YMCA. And they used to use it as well to help the kids get there. So it's not like it's just a school-based playground.
Is there anything else you would like to tell me about the fundraiser or the project?
I think the one thing I'd like to share is that people in this community have always been really, really good to this school. Like the parents of Terry Fox are really generous people. And the thing is, we cannot use all of our school fundraisers for just one thing. Like the school needs Chromebooks, because a lot of the Chromebooks are going to become outdated. The school needs all kinds of different things that aren't necessarily funded by the board entirely. So a lot of the work done by parent council goes into the school for things other than a playground. And I think that people maybe don't understand. They think that, you know, everything that a school needs is covered by the ministry. It's not. And everything still has to be approved by the board. So although you can go over to Staples and buy a Chromebook for $250, the school board has to pay $420 per Chromebook, because it has to be a certain type that's allowed to be loaded with certain software that's just for the board. So things cost a lot more when you're trying to work through a school board than they do if you're just going and buying them yourself. And that's true of this too. Like we had two companies we were allowed to choose from for the playground. We chose the playground based on accessibility, how many kids could use the playground at various ages. And it's something that really we're going to need the community of Colbert to come together and help us put together. It's the only way it's going to work, is if the community rallies behind us and helps us with this.
Absolutely, Doreen. Well, I wish you all the best with this, and we'll help get the word out. And I thank you so much for your time today.
Well, I just want to say how much we appreciate that you're doing this for us, because it could be the difference maker for us. People finding out about this and understanding what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it, like through your radio station, could absolutely be what makes the difference for us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Doreen.